Who are you?
My name's Mike Arcuri, and I'm the Group Program Manager for Business Intelligence on the Office 12 team.
Ooh, that sounds impressive. Wow. What is business intelligence? Is there any business intelligence out there?
That's a good question. You know, that business intelligence, it's an industry term, and it's been around probably 10 years or even 15, but what it mostly means is the tools that people need to make decisions. So ways of looking at their data, getting data as a report, asking a question, getting an answer. You might call that analysis.
Yeah.
You know, Excel has been a tool that people have used for analysis for decades, and they love working with their data there.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting next to the director of finance and treasury for Starbucks last night in the plane, and he was using Excel, looking at all his numbers, and they were quite impressive numbers too.
Oh, were they? tell me about the.
They open a new restaurant every 5 hours, or a new coffee store every 5 hours.
Yeah, so. and there are businesses, leading businesses, who that is kind of their key advantage. You know, companies like Starbucks or Budweiser or other companies where the efficiency and understanding where their money's coming from and who their customers are and what the trends are in the marketplace is key competitive.
He was telling me some of his challenges were like gas prices. You know, you don't think about that, but Starbucks has so many,
has such a huge distribution channel.
Yep, shipping coffee costs money, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Anyway, so what's your job like, other than getting to meet cool people who are trying to do things with your tools?
Yeah,
to
good
see
question.
What their businesses are doing.
So, as a group program manager, I'm responsible for design, the feature set that goes into Office 12 for Excel services, for the charting engine in Office, and I work with other teams to make sure that let's say pivot tables or sorting and filtering or Visio data connectivity all fit in with like a Microsoft level theme.
Okay.
And that theme is really that we're fleshing out and completing a BI infrastructure for customers. SQL 2005 just shipped, terrific product, lots of new BI functionality. And Office 12 just went into beta 1 last week, and Office 12 really, it makes a good front end for SQL Server 2005, both through SharePoint and those technologies in the browser, but also in the rich clients, starting with Excel.
Cool.
Yeah.
How has the world of BI changed over the past few years? What can that guy at Starbucks or, you know, anybody looking at their business data, what can they do today that they it would be hard to do 5 years ago or even impossible to do? What is Office 12 going to, you know, how is Office 12 changing their world?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, business intelligence has changed in a couple ways over the last 5-10 years. One way is it's really started to sync up with compliance efforts, Sarbanes-Oxley, for example. So people really need to control their numbers.
Yeah.
They need to be sure that they're the right numbers. Yeah. So when 10 people show up for a meeting about finances, they don't have different versions of where they are with respect to sales or expenses or something like that.
Right.
And over the last, say, 5-10 years, the systems have gotten broader. BI portals have emerged and really standardized reporting at some companies. Now, the issue is there's a lot of data. The amount of data keeps increasing, and any medium-sized or even large-sized company has probably grown in fits and starts, maybe done some acquisitions, and inside these companies there's a mishmash of different databases that they use to run their business, you know, do their transactions, track their customers, run the marketing campaigns, and to actually be able to analyze that data takes some work. And so a lot of BI efforts, you know, like in SQL Server, for example, have focused on, you know, integration, getting the data from all the back-end data sources, the infrastructure for analysis. So there's something called a unified dimensional model now with SQL Analysis Services, and that UDM basically is metadata about the data that allows you to query it very quickly and gives it some structure. More than friendly names, but things like hierarchy. Right, so fiscal years broken down into halves, and then quarters, and then weeks. It's offset from calendar year. Right, those kinds of examples are simple versions of the hierarchies that would show up in a UDM or a cube.
UDM is, again?
The Unified Dimensional Model.
Okay.
That's a term that we use for SQL analysis services.
Got it.
Cube is a more generic term, and it's been around for a decade or more. And what a cube is this metadata, and everything's pre-computed. So you can ask for sales for the whole company, or just one division, or in just one geography. And all those numbers have already been calculated for you, so it's very fast. So it serves up answers to business questions very quickly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you can see how much gas is costing Starbucks in Europe,
right,
for instance, or versus Asia versus America.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like I can
absolutely
really get access to his numbers and answer his boss's questions without having to do too much research.
Right. And so what people have focused on, for the most part, is the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right? Can we get reporting to everyone in the organization? Can we build a dashboard or a scorecard for our executives that gives them just what they want to see on a weekly basis? Right. But what we're trying to do in Office is a little bit different. We're really trying to take these capabilities, the ability to ask a question and get an answer, or apply a color scale or a set of formatting to numbers to see if there is exceptions that stand out. Right, we're trying to broaden the use of that, bring it to basically every information worker. We want to make it that easy, so you can be in Excel, and if you have numbers from SQL 2005 with all the rich metadata, and your IT department set that up for you, great. You're going to get the best experience, the best front end, the most natural interaction with that.
Right.
But if you don't have a big IT department, and you happen to paste a bunch of numbers in from the last sales road trip that you went on, well, we want to help you analyze that data too.
All right.
Because that's been a strength of Excel and of Office for a long time now.
So are you going to show me some of this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So what are you going to show me today?
Well, I think what I'll do for starters is show a little bit of what it might be like to manage your business based on some of these business intelligence tools.
Okay.
And what I'll show is SharePoint 12.
Okay.
I'll show the Business Scorecard Manager that just released the last month.
Okay.
And I'll show Excel and the new Excel server. Excel Services is the name we're using internally.
Right.
But it allows Excel code to run behind SharePoint on the server, calculate the models, and render the results completely thin.
Now you said code. So is there a developer story to what you do, or
there is a developer story? Office as a whole has supported Visual Basic. There are older macro languages and extensibility mechanisms. Excel has something called the XLL, which is a way to extend it with C code or other kinds of rich code. And we're doing more and more managed code as we go forward. And with Excel Services, there is a web service API, and you can use that to tell the Excel Services, load this workbook, plug these numbers into the sheet, recalculate yourself or fetch any external data that you need, and then please give me the results back out of this range, and you can build applications around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, let's see it.
Show some of that too. So I'll show this first, and then we'll get into more of the ad hoc stuff that I was talking about.
Okay.
Let me adjust my tripod a little bit.
Okay.
All right, got it? Sure thing. So what I have here is a dashboard.
Okay.
And dashboard is just a term that means a bunch of parts that show relevant information, related information, in a coherent way on the same screen.
Okay.
Usually delivered through the browser, and this one is delivered through the browser.
So does this work with IE only, or Firefox, or what browsers?
That's a good question. We are doing some testing with other browsers besides IE.
Okay.
Some of the interactivity isn't going to quite be there, but we want there to be a good consumption and browsing experience, even in other browsers.
So how is this page ActiveX controls then, or is it Ajax controls, or what?
Great question. What we're looking at here is a SharePoint site. You can see the nav bar here and the page structure. This is a SharePoint smart page. And these are web parts inside. And this web part here that has the green circles and the red triangles, or the red diamonds, that is, this is a business scorecard, and it's delivered through that Business Scorecard Manager product. The chart on the right is an image that is rendered by Excel Services, and this is actually a live Excel workbook bound to external data in SQL Analysis Services 2005, showing a pivot table, and it is completely thin and interactive, just built on things like JavaScript. So no ActiveX.
So is this what you're calling Office Live now? This isn't the Office Live, is it?
No, not necessarily. Okay. This is all part of the Office 12 system,
okay.
And that includes the SharePoint technologies and also the clients,
Got it.
Client applications.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, just to go through a small scenario here, this is our finance portal. You can have a finance scorecard. And if I were, a manager in the finance department for this fictional company that sells mountain bikes and road bikes and bike equipment, I would look at things like, how are we doing? How are my indicators showing up? So I'm looking green, green, green. Well, here's one that's red, discounting. Well, it turns out that our discounting is above our plan or what we allow for as normal.
Yeah.
And you can actually see when I hover over there, the plan is 1.5% roughly,
yeah.
But we're up in the 4% range. So why is that? Well, I have related information here. So here's profits versus plan on the side. That's not the most relevant thing right now. But this shows me profitability by product in Excel. So I can see for bike categories, and then here's my discounting number. And what this has is some of the Excel conditional formats from 12 applied. This is called a data bar, where it gives you a visual indication of what's the smallest and what's the largest. And here's a color map that goes from green to yellow.
And you get those
red.
Just standard in Excel, right?
Yeah, and I'll show you how to apply them. They're really quite straightforward. But what I can see is, yes, especially in mountain bikes. So this tells me overall I have a discounting issue. And here's a related document that gives me some profitability information, but also shows me that my discounting is high in this category.
So you got a salesperson giving too high a discount?
Maybe. So, this is the exact kind of question that people might have. So how do I track that down? Well, the first step is by interacting in a straightforward way in Excel. So you can see the little expand plus sign and tooltip. And when I click on that, it's going to essentially re-query that unified dimensional model. And you can see that we're into specific bike models here, the 200, the 400, the 500. And now my color coding looks different.
Mm-hmm.
There's one real standout with the Mountain 500. Okay, so that's interesting. I'm going to keep this in mind, that the Mountain 500 is maybe being discounted more than other bikes. Now I can also filter to see if this is a new problem or if it's been a problem for a little while. So I just go to the quarter here and click my filter button. And let's look at the first quarter rather than the second quarter. And I'm again going to watch the colors here and what happens to them. And it goes and fetches new information. And you see that they're roughly in the 3% range last quarter. And they really kind of consolidated on high discounting on the Mountain 500 just in this most recent quarter.
Right.
Now I'm forming a theory, right? This is how you work with data to figure out how to act on it. So let me click on this metric here, average discount. And this scorecard, when you click on things in the scorecard, it drives changes to the rest of the page. And so you see now what's shown up is a folder on SharePoint that has other interesting documents in it. My chart has changed on the side. And you see these little red checks here, or little red triangles. That means someone has commented on this data. So being able to access the data and ask a question and get an answer is important and one of the key things you need to do. But being able to actually work with your team members and collaborate on it and figure out how you're going to go act on that, that's also really important.
Yeah. So now, how much of this works offline? Because this looks like it's an online thing, web page oriented thing.
Right.
Could I work with any of this data offline? Or in this way?
Yeah, you can. Not in this exact same way. So this is a browser experience.
Yeah.
It is online and it's running through SharePoint. But you can take a snapshot of one of those unified dimensional models offline. It would be called a local cube.
Right.
And you can use Excel in the client to interact with your data offline.
Okay.
The other thing you can do is there is a client application for designing these business scorecards.
Yep.
And you can make a change and change your business scorecard and test and see if it's working correctly and then deploy it online. Right. So there are some experiences for design and exploration of your data offline.
Is there any way you can, say, dump this down in my local hard drive so I can use it on the road or something where I'm not going to maybe be online all the time.
Yeah, that would be
because it's like the Starbucks guy was working on his spreadsheets and
good
playing.
Point.
You know,
no, that's a very good point. Yeah. And we hear customers ask for that. I mean, they want something thin that yeah. everybody in their company can use, that even their partners or their suppliers could maybe log on to an extranet and get the same numbers, right, in a secure, controlled way. But they also want to be able to work with it on their laptop.
Yeah.
And so many people have laptops now, just like in the example you gave. So yeah, that would be a case of saying, see this data behind the workbook or behind the scorecard, I want to create a local cube, and then you'd have your Excel files and the data that powers them locally.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what else are we seeing here?
Well, I was going to look at this comment. So discounting 4.something%. Let me read the comment that someone has mentioned. He thinks that there's an issue in certain states, starting with Idaho. Okay, interesting. Why don't I take a look at Idaho? So you can filter the whole scorecard here. See how it says United States. And what I'll do is I'll drill down into states, click Idaho. Okay. And all the numbers will update to be specific to just that state. You can see my chart updated. And yes, I mean the numbers are way higher in Idaho, dramatically so. And there's another comment. So let's click and see what this person said. Okay, I know discounting is above plan, but that's to compete in the mountain bike arena here in Idaho. We're still turning a profit. So the local sales manager thinks he's doing the right thing, but I may disagree with the approach that's being taken.
Yep.
So this is the way that you ask questions, you get answers, you have metrics. And now let's go back into Excel, because my next question is Idaho the only problem, or are there other states, right? And so what I'll do is I'll open up this sales and discounts by state in a new window. It's a little warning I get. And again, Excel services are opening up the workbook here, fetching external data from SQL Server, running any calculations that are in the sheet, and it's rendered in HTML and script here locally. And you can see that because this is 50 states worth of data, I actually even scroll off the screen here, and I would need to page around to see everything.
Yeah.
So this is a great kind of situation where the browser is a good starting point. Maybe I can answer my simple questions. I did a drill down, I did a filter. But in this case, I really want the rich Excel experience. I can see all the data at once and bring some of those tools to bear. And these things work great together. So I have a button here, open in Excel. And this will open it up in the client. Click on that. It's OK to load it. And in just a second here, now I have the same exact data opening up inside Excel. And I just wanted to show these next to each other for a second. I mean, I know the fonts are not exactly the same. We're going to fix that bug. But all the formatting is going to be as precise as we can get with HTML.
Yep.
The calc engine, we're sharing it. The same code will run in both cases.
Now, this data came from the HTML, or it came from a web service that's on a server somewhere?
Right. So the data behind this pivot table comes from SQL Server.
Got
it's
it.
In the database.
Got it.
But there is a real Excel workbook there that's being opened and executed on the server. And this is how we can ensure that people get the exact correct numbers, both on the web or in the rich client.
Yeah.
And because it's in SharePoint, you have total control over who can access the thing.
Yeah.
You can actually decide which sheets or which objects within a workbook are visible. You can give somebody the right to just view the thing and not open up the file underneath it. On Wall Street especially, some firms think of custom calculations that they build as intellectual property that's very expensive to them and worth a lot of money. And they'd like to be able to share the results, especially with customers, right? But maybe not the logic that generated those results. And often these things start out in Excel because that's what the traders understand, that's what the financial people understand. So the question is, can they stay in Excel? Or if something becomes really important to your business, do you have to rewrite it as .NET code?
Yeah.
And what we're doing now is bridging these things. So you could keep it in the model. You could have the financial wizard tweaking the formulas and everything, but it would be locked down. It would be secure. It would be accessible via web service. So if you wanted to build a custom ASP.NET front end on the thing, you could do that. So let me just kind of keep running.
Keep going, yeah.
That's the consistency that we get there. And now what you see is a pivot table experience. This shows me all the measure groups that are available, and I'm looking at resellers right now, resellers in each state. So when I pick resellers, I'm filtered down to a smaller set of relevant fields. And what I want to do is I just want to find the states that are kind of blowing the discount percentage in terms of giving too many discounts or too large. So I'm just going to uncheck some of these guys. It is okay to connect to external data. And as you make choices on your pivot table, you see how it updates in real time. So you don't have to like go into design mode and guess or have a vision in your head of what you want to get to. You can make changes in real time and explore the data as you go. What you can also do is sort and filter with a lot of power directly in place. Okay. So the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to come to my most recent quarter. I'm just going to click on a state, Alabama. I'm right-clicking, and you can see the little floaty and the new ribbon and the UI model here. Yep. But I'm just going to sort descending, and you know Excel is smart enough to know what I want to sort. Oh, I'm talking about second quarter fiscal year 2004 results. I'm doing the state level, so all the peers kind of get sorted together. And we can see some of these numbers are high, some are not, but the best way to get a picture of this stuff is to use the new formatting that we have available in Excel. And this is called conditional formatting, and we have bars and colors and icons so that you can really visualize your data. In this case, let's just look at the color map, and you can see Wyoming and Idaho very clearly stand out, you know, orange to green in terms of the discounting. Great, great. So let me share this with some other people I work with. The way I would do that is by sending it to the server. Right, so I'm actually going to publish this thing. You can publish the whole workbook. I mentioned some of this are just certain sheets. You know, maybe I just publish this one sheet, not the sheets 2 and 3.
Right.
Let's give it a name, different name. This is one we opened already. I'll call it top discounts, or too high. Too high. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll publish this, and it looks like it's in the right place, AdventureWorks, Course Library. And this is going to let me preview it in the browser right after I publish. And I'll just go ahead and do that. And what you'll see is a new window will open. It will be my browser window. And it should show me the new workbook that I just changed in Excel and saved with all the color coding that I just did.
And so now you could cut that URL and paste it and send it in an email or whatnot and say,
yeah,
hey, you guys got to check this out.
Absolutely. You could send a link to this in email and make sure that everyone's getting the right numbers.
Yeah.
If this became a big deal and you wanted to track this next month and the month after, you could even make a little web part that shows this on a dashboard or a home page that people come to every morning or every week.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you could shame the manager in Idaho to stop discounting
right,
so much.
Right. Right. Well, and the other thing that becomes
we're watching
clear,
you.
The other thing that becomes clear is it's not just Idaho, right?
Right.
So I should set up some kind of training or have someone on my team set up training. In this case, and make sure Wyoming and Idaho are kind of the two leading states that get that training and act on it.
Yep.
Okay. So let me close that guy down. That was kind of a bit of an end-to-end scenario. What questions might I have? How would I track them using the products? How would I act on them?
Yep.
Let me get even more detailed now and show off some of the stuff that we've built.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do here is just open up a new workbook. It also has a lot of AdventureWorks bike data in it. And I'll just kind of...
AdventureWorks is a fake company.
Yeah, AdventureWorks is the sample database that we ship with SQL 2005. And okay. You know, we know there's no real data in there, so people can party on it till their heart's content. So let me just drop down this box here. Look at my different customers. Okay, looks like we have a live connection, so I can make changes. And this is a pivot table in Excel, and it's been pretty dramatically updated since before. I've showed some of these little things in the last few minutes, but just the nice little touches like plus and minus signs, so I can drill down if I want to look at all my quarters. The very direct nature of formatting this thing. So, you know, halves aren't so interesting to me. I don't need a subtotal for every half.
Yeah.
Well, I just right-click on half and say, no subtotal.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2005, it looks like our bike data hasn't been processed yet for 2005. So why don't I just remove 2005? Because bike sales account for most of what we do.
Yeah. Back to the previous example.
Yes.
That number, is there any way to build an alert system? Like, it'll kick off an email if that number changes by 5% either way, or an RSS feed, or something that I can watch.
Yeah.
And so I'm warned anytime that number changes a lot.
Well, that's another good question. We do have the means to do that via our API, right? So you can call our web service, tell us to recalc with the latest data, and ask what's the value in cell, B17. And if that value exceeds a certain threshold, then you could use the object model in SharePoint to send email with a link to that, et cetera. But it's not built right in a no-code kind of mode.
Okay.
We have some great examples that use code. In fact, at the High Performance Computing Conference, we showed how you can use the HPC scheduler to automate lots of calculations using Excel services. Like, for example, for Monte Carlo simulation. So you want to run the same workbook 100 times with different seed values? Okay. You know, you could call through the API and achieve that through the scheduler in Windows in that case. So there's a lot of possibilities. But we didn't get to adding that in this version in a no-code way.
That's good for a developer to know that. Absolutely. It's possible, though.
Absolutely.
I'm sure a lot of bosses will like to have a little alert like that.
Right, right. Yeah, I would like to have some of those alerts myself on bug counts and things.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we did is we got down to the quarters here.
Okay.
So four quarters all in FY 2004. You know, maybe I want to look at just the bikes that are here. So you can see the hierarchical selection that we have. And we really have lots of options for filtering now. I mean, on any number you want, you can say it has to be between, or it has to be top 10, or I actually want to take the label of this thing and only show me the products that contain the word large.
Got it.
Large size, or yellow as a color, or something like that.
Yeah.
But in this case, I'm just going to unselect and choose bikes. And let me expand all the way down to every model that we have. So it's called expand, and I'll go all the way to product name. Okay. And let's see. I think what I'm interested in learning at this point is, of my bikes that do a lot of sales, are any of them in trouble? Is anything declining? Should I rally my marketing muscle one way or another?
Yep.
Or maybe it's a product flaw that needs to be addressed. So what I'm going to do is click on a bike model, and I'll say filter top 10, and I'll just say like the top, let's say 7. And what I'm going to get is the top 7 in each category, mountain bikes, road bikes, and it's because my selection is on the individual model, so all the peers are always filtered or sorted in the same way. Okay.
Got it.
Click OK. Takes a minute to run the new query, and then what we'll see is just the top 7 bikes in each area. Now I can scan these, just with my mouse and my eyes, but as we saw in some other examples, it's often best to use some visual highlighting and make it really clear what we're looking at, right? Yeah. So I could do that and see, oh, okay, that's a nice upward trend. I'll look at the bottom, the bikes on the bottom, right?
Right.
Here's some. These look like they're going up. You know, one thing I want to make sure I do is sort so that I see the top sellers on the top and the bottom sellers on the bottom.
Yep.
There we go. And I think I have a tiny little bug here. I'm just going to clear my rule. Let me do this one more time. Okay, so got bottom seller there. There's a couple numbers that are low here. Let me do this.
These visualizations or conditionals are new, right?
Yeah, they are. They're brand new.
I don't remember seeing those in there.
Okay. Oh, okay, so here's a problem. The Road 250s are all declining in sales. Okay, so that's interesting. Well, why might that be? Well, one thing I could do is go look at the properties of this product. So you see how that large tooltip came up?
Yeah.
Well, this is fetching more metadata from SQL Server, and it's telling me things like the model, at what point I should reorder more stock, etc. It's interesting to note that this bike costs over $2,000 list. Let's look at this one. This one's $1,700. Okay, so maybe I'm priced it too high. Maybe the market's not really bearing that price, and that's why we're seeing declining sales. Well, another way for me to follow up on that is with a feature that exists in SQL Server, which links to related information. Server actions, you can use them to run a stored procedure. You could use them to link to a URL. In this case, it's going to bring up a related SQL Reporting Services report.
Yep.
That shows me, based on survey data, what were the reasons that people made the choice that they made for their bike. So let's look in North America for starters, because a lot of our internet sales are there. And 2 million, 2 million, 4 million, 4 million. Okay, so $4 million worth of our sales, people said the top reason that they purchased that model was price.
Yeah.
You know, among other reasons, like it was a promotion or the quality was perceived to be high.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is the process that information workers go through. They have data, they know they need to do their jobs, and what we're giving them is just better tools, richer connection to SQL Server, better ways to share things through SharePoint and on the web, easy interactivity, you know, just click or sort or filter the visualizations.
Is there any way to add in when a competitor announces something into that timesheet so you can, over time, you're seeing, oh, green, 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 red, red, red. You can see maybe a competitor announced a new product there and disrupted you, or...
That's a great question. You know, that kind of thing is what happens in companies all the time.
Yeah.
People start thinking about, oh, I could do my job even better if I knew about competitive issues and how they impacted sales for the week. Or I could do even better if I knew about how the dollar was faring against foreign currencies to see if our international sales were slumping based on a weak dollar or strong dollar or something like that.
Or like if I was selling bikes into New Orleans, I bet I would see a sales drop after the New Orleans hurricanes.
Exactly, right. And those kinds of things are all useful in certain situations to certain people. But one of the problems over the last decade, I mean, you asked how business intelligence has evolved over the decade, has been it's usually been business users going to their information technology people and saying, can you make the report different? Can you add this? I really want to be able to see currency, or I really want to be able to see competitive things. And each one of those has been a coding project. Yeah. And it's hard to keep up. You know, IT departments that get 20 or 40 requests a year for new reports, I mean, that's a couple of full-time jobs there. And so what we're doing in Office is making it so, you know, in some cases, you're still going to need the right data to be in the database. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But however you can get to data, we're giving more of the tools to more of the people in an easy enough way that they can take advantage of them.
So would you stick that in the properties then of that? For instance, here, you know, this might have been where the competitor came out with a different bike,
right,
and might have disrupted your pricing. Could you put where would you put that data? That loose data. That's
right.
On top of the numbers. Would you put it as one of those little red comments?
Yeah, you might want to do it as comments. Another way you could do it is you could take a few top competitors, and if they were public companies and you knew what their sales were for different quarters, you look for spikes in their sales compared to your sales.
Can you overlay their sales so you could actually pivot between your sales and their sales?
That. Yeah, pivot tables are very flexible, so you could look at data next to each other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Who knew that being an accountant could be so much fun?
Right, exactly. Well, it's funny because when I talk to people who are in finance or are in accounting, and they immediately start in with all their Excel requests, and then I start to talk about the stuff they're doing, and generally they've reacted in a very positive way. So we'll see. Now that the beta just came out last week, we'll get even more feedback on what we've built.
Yeah.
It should be really cool.
Cool.
So I'll just show a few more things quickly
here.
This was all sales data. Let's look at how sales are doing. You can have financial data, certainly showing expenses. You know, and another thing that people really want to do in Excel is use the full flexibility of the sheet. So the pivot tables are nice tools, but you know, there is no way in a pivot table for me to insert my own column right in the middle of it. You know, it's structured. It's meant as a way to work with your structured data. But what I can do in Excel 12 for the first time is I'm going to come up to my pivot table ribbon. You can see how these things come up. And I have a tool which converts my pivot table into formulas in the sheet. So okay. I'm going to click that, and this is asking me about the filter and how I want to treat the filter. I want to convert that to make it all formulas. And it takes a second, because what it's doing is creating, I don't know, 100 or so formulas here in each cell, and then refetching the data from SQL Server in a robust and flexible way. So let's look at one of these guys. I click here, and I see up in the formula bar, it's a formula called cube value, and it specifies the data connection that's being used, VentureWorks database. And then it's actually referencing these other cells. So C1 is this. Fourth quarter fiscal year 2002. Okay, so that's one of the filters that's being applied. B3 is this guy, and this brings the amount back. So that's the data we want to fetch.
Yep.
Right? And you know, B6 is net income. So it's taking the other parts of the sheet and making the formula. And the great thing about that is you can copy and paste these things or fill them down, you know, the way you would with average or sum or you know, any other PMT, any other Excel formula. You can do that with external data now too, and it gives me this great flexibility. So
let me back up here.
Uh-huh.
Where did we start from?
Oh, I had a sheet. It had a pivot table on it. Let me show you making a pivot table. That might make it a little easier.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay, so let me go to...
I just realized I was lost, so I wanted to make sure nobody else got lost.
So I'll just go to a blank sheet.
Okay.
And one of the things that people have had trouble with for a long time now is just, which database do I need to get to? Do I have permissions to that one? What's the name of it? Is there one of these paths that I need to know? And what we could do now is, because we're richly connected to SharePoint, certainly we show all the data connections that you've used on your machine before, but we also communicate with SharePoint, and you can see this, connection files on the network. These are data connections with friendly names, friendly descriptions, and all the right settings that I have access to. And they were just saved into a special kind of document library in SharePoint called Data Connection Library. And I can get to them right from Excel, no questions asked, no fuss.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick AdventureWorks. It's what we've been using together for a long time.
Yeah.
Click Open. And now I have choices. Do you want a pivot table? Do you want a chart? Do you want just
now
the connection?
For somebody who doesn't work with Excel a lot, what is a pivot table? And when would I use a pivot table? What is a pivot table?
Okay, good question. Back up for a sec. A pivot table is basically used to look at hierarchy or look at related things in the context of each other. Okay. So you can think of it as an outlining tool. That's one simple way to think about it. You can collapse and expand any level and see the aggregate numbers or the average numbers or whatever you happen to be looking at. It's a great way to look at you know, how sales by product by time.
Got it.
And you actually can use as many dimensions as you want, and what you get is more and greater hierarchy and nesting. So if you want to look at sales by product by geography by time, you could do that, but you'd have to repeat each product for each country.
Got it.
Or go the other way, repeat each country for each product. So let me show you here. But it's a great way to look at a lot of data quickly. So I'm going to put it in the existing worksheet. And what we get is a box and a palette for building things.
Wow, that's a lot nicer than it used to be, huh?
Yeah, we used to rely heavily on drag and drop into the sheet, and there were different zones. And we found that many people didn't really understand which zone they needed to drop something in.
I never understood what they were.
Right. Well, watch how I can do it now. Okay. So I want to look at sales. This thing is called sales amount. I'm going to click it. When I click it, it appears.
Okay,
that's all sales in this database. I'd like to see, you know, which geographies we've sold into, which countries we sell to. So I'm going to click that. Well, now I have sales broken down by country. Okay, now let me add the fiscal date to this thing. I'm just going to click date. Okay, now look what happened. So now we have countries down the left side, and Excel is smart enough to notice that date and time date and time categories normally are applied across the top in many cases. And so we've built this breakdown of sales per country per time. You didn't have to understand pivot tables. You just click, click, click. Now if you want to drill into France to find issues in France, you just click here and click on, you know, Nord, and you can drill down into an individual city, and you can say, well, what sales did I do in that city? You know, and expand to detail. And we'll go fetch the actual transactions out of the database and build you a new sheet here. Sometimes it takes a second to do this. Okay, so only two sales in this case. But you can see, like, who bought the bike, you know? I mean, that's pretty cool. So even in the simple case where you're not a data expert, maybe you haven't used pivot tables before, we do see that with this model of just choose it, and then just expand, or that people can be more successful and have been more successful with Excel 12. So we have one of these tables, one of these pivot tables here on the finance sheet.
Got it.
And then I said, well, convert this to formulas. And the reason I converted
is
I wanted the flexibility. I want to arrange this just right so it looks perfect, so I can put some of my own data in there.
Got
and so watch.
See where I got lost. When you build a pivot table, isn't it all formulas that's coming in, or is it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I went a little too fast there. When you first build a pivot table, Excel recognizes that thing as a special object that's going to be dynamic. So you drill, it gets bigger. You filter, it gets smaller. You sort it changes. And because it's dynamic, you can't like insert your own column in the middle of it. Because Excel might need to use that column for different data when you click on the plus sign.
Got it.
Right? And so that's what I meant. When you convert it into the sheet, now it's still your real data. You can still refresh it. You can still get the conditional formatting. You can still drill to detail. But you have complete flexibility of your sheet.
Got it. And so it sort of renders it back into a normal Excel sheet.
That's exactly right.
Being a pivot table special object. Got it now.
that's exactly right.
That makes it actually much more clear. And actually now I see why it's so useful.
Yeah. So now I can just, let's say I wanted to just share with some of my coworkers expense data.
Yeah.
We're going to try and cut costs. I want us to all be aware of our expenses. Okay, great. So I have this. It's not exactly what I want. I probably don't need budget variance because I have percent. In fact, it would be nice to format this guy as a percent, I would think. So I'll just click percent. I've got my budget. I've got my actual forecast wasn't even filled out in the table, but it'd be nice if I filled it out. Let me insert a blank column because it's nice to know what is the real data and what is projected data. And anything that doesn't say expense, I'm just going to delete. So margins, I'm just going to delete. Balance sheet, income, delete. Some of these I don't really need, the filter guys. Let's move this guy down. All right. And then, just kind of format it to look nice. So give it some borders, border. Maybe make this really obviously some kind of separator. Oops. Sorry. I'm going to do this one. And now forecast, I'm going to use Excel. So how about the average between what we actually spent and what we said we were going to spend as a way to predict? And then, give it some inflationary factor, like 1% per quarter. That would be 4% a year, a little bit more. So I'll just do that. And then I'll just fill it down, right? And so I've built this little table, and it's totally, live data. It's mixing my calculations with the real ones. It's easy to tell which ones are which, right? The ones that say cube value, those are coming from the database. This thing, that's a back of the envelope type calculation.
Yeah.
And everything's still live, so if I want to, go look at the third quarter results instead of the fourth, hit return, you see how it's fetching, and it comes back with the third quarter's results. Whoa. So robust, tied to the database, but very flexible.
Now, how much of that is new in this is all new in Exchange 12?
Well, with the Excel 12. Yeah, there were no formulas like this
Excel
in the past.
12,
we did have a pivot table, but it was harder to use, as you've mentioned. Like, you yourself had a little trouble with it. Now we've got, I don't want to repeat myself, but there's a lot more stuff here. Let me just show a few other things. Inline KPIs, I showed the menu where you can pick.
What are KPIs?
It stands for Key Performance Indicator.
Okay.
And you can think of it as a metric that helps you run your business.
Okay.
so people can make them around sales quotas or budget spending or anything else. But it also sometimes refers to this way of looking at them as a little graphic in your spreadsheet or on the web. And you can, there are KPIs defined in that unified dimensional model in SQL 2005.
Okay.
And Excel understands them natively, shows them as graphics in your pivot table.
Wow.
So you just click, oh, I want a KPI, click, it gets added to your pivot table. You know, and you can drill down into these states like, okay, here's Texas, it looks green, but let me drill down and we see that, okay, yeah, College Station is doing okay, we have a sale there, but there's a lot of Texas where we're not doing any internet sales right now. So,
yeah.
You know, it's good for exploration in that way. Also charting, and I'll show a bit more of this in a minute, but we have a new charting engine.
Yeah, we have a couple more minutes, but go
okay,
ahead.
we'll go pretty quickly. But you can see, you can work with your data in either way, and
okay.
they update in lockstep. So you filter your table, the chart's going to update. You filter the chart, the table's going to update. You can use them to explore.
And that's all new too, right? I don't remember charts being.
It's a new charting engine. Actually, let me show one more workbook, and some of this will really come across well. Oh, the time goes by quickly.
I know.
I could go for another hour. Okay, so
we can always come back.
What you see here...
I mean, keep in mind, this is the first time Channel 9ers are seeing Excel 12.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
We're just I bet we're getting, what, 20% or 30% of the new features here?
Not even. Maybe 15.
Okay.
Let me keep going.
Keep going.
So this data did not come from a database. You know, I mentioned that we want to work great with real data from corporate databases, but people don't always live in an ideal world, and they get it by hook or by crook. And in this case, we pasted it into Excel, which people do in the real world.
Absolutely.
But we have structure now. This is called a table. And in like a table in Word or PowerPoint, this is a table in Excel. And we have some smarts with our tables. So you can see some data about median housing prices in different states over the last couple of years.
Yep.
And I'm going to add some columns here. You know, one might be appreciation. Maybe I'm going to decide, should I buy a second home in what state?
That's interesting that the ribbon changed when you hit a return.
So the ribbon changed. It's showing these styles that I could apply to my table if I wanted to. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say equals. I'm going to click on this guy, the 2004 price, minus this guy, the 2002 price.
Yep.
And you see what's happening in my formula bar here?
Yep.
It's not saying C4 and E4. It's actually using a name that means something.
Yeah.
And that's one of the features of tables, is we understand that it has some structure, and we try to show that structure back to you all the time. Because people actually make mistakes sometimes in spreadsheets, believe it or not. And this will help reduce the number of mistakes, make them easier to read. So I'm going to just divide it by the 2002 price. And that will create a formula. It does it consistently all the way down. And let me just format this guy as a percent. And yeah, there you go. So you can see it's defined. It will always, you know, the range will always be right. If we add more states to the union and to this table, it will continue down, etc. And these tables are just generally smart. Let me do another one. VLOOKUP. You notice how we're auto-completing?
Yeah, that's awesome.
We're taking a page from, you know, Visual Studio's book here. And I'm going to do a lookup on the state. You know, Excel gurus know that VLOOKUP is a way to pull data from one range and match it to the right rows in another range. So I'm going to do lookup on the name of the state into a table that's on another sheet.
Okay.
And now I need the name of that table. And as I start to type, you know, we autocomplete not only function names, but named objects within the sheet. So this is my table, population table. And I want the 8th column from it, which has the migration data. And I want false. Oops, did I type into the wrong cell? Am I up in the header there? Yeah, I think I am. Sorry. I need to give it a title. Let's call it migration.
Okay.
And then I'm going to just do this quickly, because you saw me doing it the first time. Look up on Alabama, population table, column 8, false. Okay, cool. Format as percent. Okay, percent. And now I have some pretty interesting data. I know who's coming and going from the state, or how many people. I know the appreciation. I know the price. So let's start to analyze this. Okay? I might want to turn again to these conditional formats that I have. Let me add a data bar to the price.
Yep.
Wow. Well, California costs a lot and Hawaii costs a lot. Other states are in the middle or lower. Appreciation. That might be a key driver in terms of where I buy. I think I want this one. Yep. Okay, so now we've got some really high ones like California appreciation or Nevada and some others in the middle. And let me actually sort this. And again, I mentioned the sorting and filtering have been overhauled. You can actually sort by color now. You can do filters, you know, above average, below average, all different kinds of things like that.
It's clear. I only have a minute. We need to do a whole thing on Excel.
Okay.
As I can see, we could go on for hours. Okay. Just like some basic Excel tricks on Excel 12. Can we come back?
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to have you back. In fact, you know, I have stuff that I could just keep rolling for probably another 40 minutes. And then, like, wherever Channel 9 viewers are most interested, like, if you want to see solutions built on the Excel services, we could do that. If you want to build dashboards together to see, it actually takes no code to build a dashboard where you can filter it here and the other parts update. We could do that.
That'd be awesome. Because, I can see all sorts of areas I want to explore with you.
Okay.
On what's different, because we haven't even been through, like you said, 80% of Excel.
Right.
And I can see a lot of Channel 9 viewers are going to be excited about getting in there and learning how to use the new Excel. Anyways, thanks for spending an hour with
me. Absolutely. Thanks for coming
really
by.
Really awesome stuff.
Yeah, okay. So, well, we'll do it again.